Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Appreciate you taking the time to listen. 1 o'clock hour is brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or both basement
walls.
Yes, I have. Well, if you have, Joe, the experts from AquaGuard can help you out. They can provide a free inspection if you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors. Visit AquaGuard.net. We just heard the promo featuring Jeff Rancour, who is going to join us for his usual conversation tomorrow at noon. I had to apologize to him over the weekend. We were leaving the game on Saturday, and he was like beside me as we were leaving the orange deck, and I was busy yelling at Nico about something. He and Sebastian were carrying on in the back seat, and Jeff was trying to talk to me as I was yelling at them. So I said, Jeff, I apologize if I seemed like I was a little bit short with you. I was a little bit distracted by the two idiots sitting in the back
seat. Were you yelling at the kids, or were you just...
No, I was just... We were arguing about something. Okay. And, you know, kids think they know everything at that age, so we were going back and forth, and Jeff happened to pull up beside me, so I apologize to him if I was a little bit short.
Yeah, that's cap.
He caught attitude shrapnel, is what you're telling me.
I think he did. He said everything was fine, but you know me, I'm paranoid about everything as it is.
Jerk.
It's neither here nor there.
The guy didn't even talk to me. I guess I just get to talk to him on Tuesday afternoons.
Right, he thinks he's too good to have a conversation. We'll talk about what the Braves were able to do over the weekend, especially their starters. Almost impeccable what they were able to do in about 15 minutes or so from now. But let's talk about a draft weekend that has come and gone with our super agent, Todd France, who was kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Jeff, how you doing? Todd, Jeff, Al, whoever we're talking to. Todd, how you doing?
Call me whoever you want. What's going on, guys?
My apologies. Just telling a story about Jeff Rancour. How was your weekend?
It was a good weekend. It's always good to be done with the weekend. It's a lot of anticipation. It's months and months and months of work. And as it gets closer and closer, all the rumors and all the lies and all the misinformation, and you never know what's going on. So to have it finally come to an end is always a great thing. But it was a good weekend.
How do you think you stack up in the lies, okey-dokes, and everything else that goes on in that world?
I mean, I'm not going to call them lies. I just say maybe there's misinformation or maybe exaggeration or maybe some potential manipulation. But, you know, there's just a lot of information sharing. You just don't know necessarily what to believe or not. I mean, the reality is no team is truly sharing what they want to do because they're afraid for someone else to come jump in front of them if that's the same guy that they want. So it's just a big game of poker, I would say, more than anything by everybody.
You don't have to name names, but do you know instantly the guy that you were surprised he got drafted that high, and do you know instantly the guy that you could not believe stayed on the board, your clients, as long as they did?
No, I mean, I felt like I had a really solid range on my guys, and I even kind of felt team-wise where they would go, and they actually did. It's just that two of my first-round picks, both the teams traded back a few spots, so it went a little lower than I thought their range was in terms of the of part of the range, but that was just because of the trade-back situation.
Yeah, but I mean all time. Is there a guy that you know?
Oh, gosh.
A surprise for the good and for the bad reasons.
You know, those that's a PTSD thing. I put those out of my mind. I couldn't even – I'm sure it was absolutely miserable in the moment and at the time, so – No, I can't even think of one.
Are you talking player or parents off the ledge more than the other?
You know, it's situational. You can't blanket it. It could be the parent. It could be the player. But if you, as an agent, you know, if you've got to manage expectations and you've got to make sure that they are not just buying into the mock drafts and what the Mel Kiper says and what they're hearing and seeing on TV and reading about and, you know, listening to people who want to, you know, stroke them, that's the worst thing. And you just got to make sure you tell them, because when it's happening, you're able to remind them of the conversation and, hey, we're still in this range, or, you know, because the reality is it only takes one. So somebody can go ahead of you, but that doesn't mean 31 other teams agreed with that pick. It just means that one team wanted that one guy, and that's the way it worked out. And sometimes the sun, the moon, the stars all have to line up, you know, for it all to work out.
Todd France with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. It's funny you say how crazier it gets for an agent as the draft nears. We had Billy Devaney, as you know, longtime GM around the NFL, talk about teams being buttoned up the day before the draft. But you're saying as you near Thursday, especially into the weekend, the rumors really start to fly.
Yeah, I do. I think you always try to go back and remember the right information you got earlier on. I mean, there's teams that might put stuff out. There's agents who knows where it all comes from. And one of the things that I would say, you know, could put a twist on things a little bit is when the teams finally sit down about a week, 10 days before the draft to go through the medicals. So all the guys go to the combine, they do all their medicals, maybe 2 weeks before the combine. If they had to go back to the combine for a recheck, let's say they had an injury that wasn't totally healed and they want to get an update. Teams want the most up to date. But then also, this is when all the teams sit down with their doctors and go through player by player and just kind of go through what the grades are and whether they're a reject or whether there's concern or whether it could cause a guy to slide or whether it's nothing significant, but there's a flag. I mean, and every team, you know, values things differently. Some teams are more conservative for injuries and some, you know, turn a blind eye and go with it.
We talked about DNDM, do not draft medical, DNDC, do not draft character, but you've probably found out, but if a guy gets to a certain point, can I ease up a little bit on the character issue? Because all of a sudden he's more palatable at this point than he would have been drafting him higher. Is that the reality of this sometimes?
Yeah, I think so. And I think talent always trumps. So the more talented the player is, it's easier for a team to convince themselves that the character isn't as big of a deal. I'll also say there's some teams that just don't emphasize the character piece as much as other teams do, just like certain people emphasize culture and all sorts of different things. So that's what makes the draft so interesting. You know, 32 different teams, 32 different ways that they slice it all up. The reality is everybody has the same ingredients in their pie. They just slice it differently. Character might be a huge piece. It might be a small piece, but they all have the exact same thing, whether they're evaluating the tape, whether it's the medical, whether it's the character, whether it's their intellect in terms of X's and O's and different positions they can play. Injury history, just everything goes into the same thing for everybody in their ingredients. It's just how they divide it up and what they put the emphasis on. I mean, there's teams that are so much more into the height, weight, speed, and the measurables and all that kind of stuff and what they do at the combine, where there's other teams that don't put as much emphasis on that because they just turn the tape on and say, that's great that the guy's a, you know, 4.340, but he doesn't play 4.3. So everything kind of blends together, and different teams have different ways to do it.
Pardon me for not knowing. Do you have a Twitter account or social media that you run, not the agency that you run?
No, I don't.
Did you make a conscious decision? Because I'm going to ask you about a specific. You can talk about it or not because it's another agent. But when Kirk Cousins' agent puts out weight and he put it out, they just told us when they were on the clock, is there a reason why you don't have it? Because you don't want to play that game of putting anything out in and around the draft?
You mean why I wouldn't put information out?
Yeah.
I don't. I haven't seen the value for me personally. I mean, it hasn't hurt me. I mean, maybe it does, and then I don't know. I think it could be helpful from a recruiting perspective, but not when it comes to the draft, maybe. You know, maybe more Instagram than Twitter. But I'm not sure why or what he was talking about. But are you saying because he was on the clock and he was just saying that's when they found out?
Yes. Yeah, he put that on social media. He said, we did not know they were taking a quarterback until they were on the clock and they took Penix. And I'm thinking, okay, why does that need to get out? Because I know Kirk Cousins, decent human being, is going to have conversations, including the young man, at some point. Why would an agent put that out?
I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I mean, I understand the team and why they didn't share it. I mean, that to me is pretty obvious, right? I mean, if you're going to tell a player ahead of time, surely that player, especially something that's, you know, a situation that could be potentially, you know, controversial or some sort of conflict, what are they going to do? They're going to then tell their agent. Well, their agent can then put it out there. And then what happens? You just ruin the team's plans, because if they put it out there and let's say Vegas or whoever was really interested in Penix and they believe this to be really true, then maybe they jump in front of Atlanta and it ruins everything Atlanta wanted to do. So I understand Atlanta you know, being quiet about it and not saying anything. And the fact that they told him on the clock, I mean, I think that they clearly had a plan to say, we don't want to completely blindside him, but we have to protect the best interest of the club. This is just my guess. And then, hey, the earliest point we can do it is once we've picked him. It hasn't been announced yet, but at least we can let him know as early as we possibly could.
Agent Todd France with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. So if you're the agent for Michael Penix, on one hand, you're celebrating because he was a top 10 pick. On the other hand, he's not supposed to play for 2 years. It's quite a line to walk there, is it not?
Yeah, you know what, though? There's you can look back at all these quarterbacks, right? I mean, you can almost say it's 50-50 chance on the ones that make it and don't make it. You just don't know. And is it situation? Is it better for them to be a Jordan Love and sit for a while? Is it better to be him like Aaron Rodgers and sit for a while? You know, is it better to sit back and learn from Kirk Cousins and then get, you know, into the games and all that stuff? So, you know, I would sit here and have to say a team is not drafting my guy, especially in the top 10, if they don't have a plan for him and where they see him to be most successful. And maybe it's, early on, it's just certain plays just to get his feet wet. Maybe it's, you know, he gets thrown into the fray because, you know, Kirk doesn't come back from his Achilles. Like, you just don't know what can happen, but I got to put faith in the team at some point here that we are both on the same side. We might not be on the same side for contracts, but we are on the same side in terms of wanting to see that player successful. And so I got to think the team is going to do their best to put that guy in a successful spot versus just, you know, sit him down and just kind of never play him. That can't be the initial plan.
Tell me something about slotting then, because in the old days, if it really was no slots, we're just going to negotiate. If a team came to you as the agent and said, yeah, but we can't give you that. He's not going to play for 2 years. I don't care that we picked him eight. That's not a thing anymore, is it?
It is not. It is not. It doesn't matter. It's the eighth spot's going to get their allocation of what it is. The ninth spot's going to get their allocation of what it is. And there's little nuances, which are, you know, mm-hmm. tough to get into. But no, from a money standpoint, it doesn't matter if you're the quarterback. If you're a receiver, the slot is the slot. There's no... You know, back in the day, there was like quarterback premiums that right. you wanted to get on picks and things like that. That just doesn't exist. Okay. That type of stuff has been eliminated from the process.
Did you hear what Joel Klatt said this weekend about this situation? He said, you know, if I'm the kid, I'm not looking to sign right away. And then we said, okay, take it to the extreme. Well, I'm not signing with them at all. I'll just go back into the draft next year. Is there really ever an option to do something like that?
I mean, you're the eighth pick in the draft. That's a big, and you're already a lot older. I mean, and you're going to go ahead and I guess I would look at the risk versus reward on that one.
Well, so here's the reward. If I get drafted next year, it might be by a team that wants to start me. Might be a team that loves me a little bit more. And I'm not telling you at eight, that's smart business. Is there ever a place though where a guy might say, you know what? It's not that I can go back to school, but I'm going to go work out. I'm going to throw my hat back into the ring next year. Is that ever viable for any of these guys at any level?
I don't see it. I haven't seen it, and we haven't seen it, and no one has seen it, right? We haven't seen that happen, so at least in football, at least in my memory. So I don't, off the top of my head, I don't see a situation like that that would make sense, but, you know, you never say never. There definitely could be situations, but this one I don't believe would be one.
I'm not sure if memory serves me correct. We may have had you in studio with us prior to Aaron Donald retiring, and obviously you represented him. Can you talk about behind the scenes? We know what he was as a player behind the scenes, what this guy was all about and still is all about as a person.
Yeah, I mean, he is unbelievable as a player. He is even better as a person and as a father. He is his kids, his family mean everything to him. He is relentless in terms of work, a worker and work ethic. And he is the same kid that I signed out of college today as he was then. I mean, there's nothing that has changed with this guy. He still loves football, still wants to work, still going to grind, still will stay in great shape. But, you know, it's rare. You get a guy who is a completely well-rounded guy, both on and off the field, and he deserves all the accolades and everything. And, you know, if he enjoys life now and his family and all of that, I couldn't be happier for the guy.
A couple of quick things on him. If I would have asked you 11 or 12 years ago, what do you think he'd be as an NFL player? What would you have honestly said back then?
You know, I mean, obviously I recruited him, so we thought he was good, and we thought he should be a first-round pick, and we weren't as worried at the time from the information we were getting about the size because the production was just off the charts. And then what really, really, like, solidified it for me is when we went to the Senior Bowl. And we're watching him at the Senior Bowl, and they, you know, the D linemen do the one-on-ones. It was the equivalent of him going up against me. It was embarrassing. Now, he was just, if he had 14 or 15 reps, he just not won them, but like dominated them. I think there was one, maybe two, that he won by a little bit or a stalemate on one, and it was with Zach Martin at the time, the Cowboys All-Pro guard. And he just, it was just so obvious to see, and I'm not a football guy from a talent evaluator standpoint. I rely on teams and their information, but anybody with the naked eye who knows football or doesn't could see it plain as day that, wow, this guy could be really good.
So, ironically, Todd Francis with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. I think Aaron Donald and another one of your guys, Grady Jarrett, they're two classic examples in a positive way of you just never know what a player is going to be, what his attitude is going to be, his ability is going to be, his ceiling, until he gets in the league and plays.
I agree. And look, now I think because of the Aaron Donalds and because of the Grady's, the size thing has sort of, you know, gone away a little bit. I mean, there's a first-round kid last year with D-tackle went to Tampa, Clancy, who actually is out of Pittsburgh this year, Byron Murphy, another undersized, quote-unquote, undersized guy. So, yeah, I think the size is not as big of a deal for some teams and some fits, whether it's 3-4, 4-3, whatever makes sense for that team and whatever they're looking for out of that player. But I think the one thing you can never measure is heart and their motor and effort. And a guy like Grady, a guy like Aaron, I mean, watch the tape. They just don't give up. They are relentless. And that's a big compliment to those guys on how they play the game of football. Yeah.
Two things about Aaron. How few hours did it take for somebody to call and say, we'd like him to do something, we don't know what? I'm assuming media. But how many times do you think you'll get a phone call during the season asking if maybe Aaron would like to play as the season winds down?
This year, this coming up year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, you see it happening with Brady and people, you know, the people still talking about that. It wouldn't surprise me for people to reach out about Aaron as well. Who knows? Not going to get into the predicting of it, but the guy will still be in shape. I can promise you he'll always be working out and still in great shape.
Did you get a call about him doing media yet?
No, not yet. But, I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that happened too. But, you know, right now he's got a lot of different options. And when you're a good-looking guy and articulate and great kid, no problems off the field, great player on the field, you're going to end up with a lot of options and picking and choosing what makes the most sense. But for right now, I think family is his number one priority, no doubt.
Realizing your plate was very full on Thursday, how surprised were you to see Michael Penix go where he did to the Falcons?
I was surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was in the green room, and we are trying to keep up, you know, with the picks, and we're trying to get the picks ahead of time. We get them before the TV gets to see it. They don't, like, show the player reacting in the green room for obvious reasons. They want to have it the television line up with the pick. And we heard about it, and so then the random people were in the green room were all talking, and we thought there was a trade. Oh, did Denver trade up? Like, Atlanta traded back, because we kept hearing it was Penix. So there was a lot of confusion and stuff in there. And then it was obviously surprising for us, just as it was for anybody else. But, you know, hey, Atlanta, you can have different ways to look at it. And I understand, you know, the way they're probably looking at it.
Did the dominoes fall well for you? Tell everybody who you had, by the way. Why were you up in the green room? Who were the two first rounders?
My first round picks were Brian Thomas, the LSU receiver, who went to Jacksonville, and then Oklahoma tackle Tyler Guyton, who went to the Cowboys.
So do you think about fits as an agent? I know you think about everything. I guess my question is, do you think about schemes? Do you think about, does that run through your head as soon as you realize where these guys are going to be going?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of different things run through your mind, like Brian Thomas instantly, you know, it's like, okay, it's a no state tax. That's a good thing for the player for Jacksonville. Then you're thinking, all right, Trevor Lawrence, that's who's going to be throwing him the ball. Who else do they have at receiver? How good are they offensively? What kind of market is it for marketing? It's a smaller market, so, you know, might not be as strong as some other places for him. But, yeah, I mean, I'm running through all of that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, you just nailed it when you said situation. That is really what it is about, going through the best situation to succeed, because it's all about that second contract. I mean, the first contract is great, it's nice, but to be truly set for life, getting to that second contract is a big deal. And I would go several spots lower, around lower, mm-hmm. if it meant going to a better situation than going higher just to go higher to check the box and, you know, stroke my own ego, but then be in a situation with a receiver, a miserable offense, no quarterback. That's not as fun.
I don't want to try to cross-pollinate, but I know you know who Scott Boras is. Have you ever had beef with any organization? And what's the reality of, I know there's a guy in the NFL whose name gets mentioned, Drew Rosenhaus. Have you ever had anything where you thought maybe the relationship wasn't great with the team and everybody fixed it, or is that not a thing in the NFL?
No, it's definitely a thing. I think different agents have different relationships with different teams, and how they handle their business is how they handle their business, and to each their own. I won't second guess how they do it. Well, I feel like I've got great relationships with all the team. Do I think that I agree every time with them? No, I mean, I think we agree to disagree on different things, but you figure it out, and that's what negotiating it is, and trying to problem solve and come up with the best resolution for the player, and they're coming up with the best resolution there, and you're trying to figure out a way to bridge any gaps. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to work with these guys, and they're going to have to work with you. So you find a way to make it work. Now, it doesn't mean you're best friends all the time. No, but at the end of the day, good relationships and all of that is extremely important. And I feel like I got great relationships with all these different teams because I've dealt with all of them and ongoing, whether it's rookies, whether it's draft picks, whether it's veterans, whether it's trades. I mean, you're always dealing with these teams. And sometimes, you know, you want to get information from them. So, again, I would definitely say we don't always agree, but you figure it out. And I'm not a big yeller. I love analytics, and I believe a lot in it. And I have a right-hand guy in the office that's phenomenal at all that stuff. So I like to express my point with more factual support than just argument.
Nick has a great story about a player up in Cleveland who has the financial conversation with these guys about what a $26 million deal is.
What does it really mean as far as taxes coming out? Steve Everett was a first-round pick out of Michigan by the Browns, and I remember him dejected. We were about the same age at the time, head down, walking through the locker room. I said, what's the matter? It's taxes. He had no idea that much was going to be taken out of his check.
Yeah, 50%. Yeah, that's the general rule. A lot of guys don't necessarily understand that, although that is changing because of the NIL world. They're quickly seeing, you know, when they're getting paid by the collective or they're getting paid, they're learning a lot faster than they did years before, because before, the first money they ever got was truly in the NFL through the draft, but and or marketing dollars. But now they're getting it when they're freshmen, sophomore, transfer portal, juniors, whatever, you name it. They're getting significant money, and then they're realizing, you know, what the tax ramifications are of that stuff. So,
Were you ever asked by an NFL team to maybe come work for a team?
I've had the conversation, yes, years past, but that's not where my head is.
No,
or
but
my focus
it's
is,
an interesting conversation. I've talked to a couple of guys in your world who have talked about that. Did you literally have a sit down with your wife, or if you were single at the time, with somebody in the family, just to go, okay, let me at least put this on a piece of paper and figure out why or why not?
I don't know that I've sat down, but yes, I've thought about it and had those conversations. And again, it's, you got to find the right opportunity and all that stuff. But for me, it just hasn't made sense. And at this point, probably never does. But you never shut any door on anything. But right now, I love the player side, and I love, you know, representing the guys and helping them and their dreams come true. And that's really, really rewarding. Do I think I can add value to a team? Oh, for sure. Just, you know, being on this side of it and knowing what I know and what we go through versus what I think teams miss out on, I definitely think there is a lot of value to be added.
How thick a folder is there for players? We talk about the dossier. How thick is that really for NFL? Every NFL team is supposed to have everything they can on a guy. How thick a file are we talking about?
They know everything. I mean, that's the number one thing we tell our players, you know, when they're going through this interview process, do not skirt something. Do not think that they do not know about it. I don't care if it was a fight you had in high school, they'll know about it. It's a billion-dollar business. They're not going to make a significant investment that can set a franchise back without knowing everything that's out there. And that's why the medical is so intense. That's why the interviews are so intense. That's why the background and all of the stuff that they do is so intense. I mean, I've had many a high school principal reach out to say that they got contacted by so-and-so. Is it okay to release your high school file and all that kind of stuff? They've gone back. They'll come into that town. Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of stuff going on.
It's like Carl the janitor in the Breakfast Club. He's the eyes and ears of the place. Ask the janitor. Listen, Todd, thanks for coming on. Congratulations on the weekend, those two first-rounders, and then some. And hopefully we can talk soon. Always appreciate the insight.
You got it. Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks.
Todd France, agent with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker Line, the 1 o'clock hour, brought to you by AquaGuard. When we come back, the struggle.
Let me ask you, your high school, they go back and check.
Yeah.
DNDC. Is there a character issue at the end of D&D, Do Not Draft?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, good.
My mother always said it. You were a nice boy, and then you went to college, and you became an animal.
So it's the college phone call.
Yeah, something happened to you in college. We don't know what it was.
Girls.
I don't know.
No, girls. Steroids.
I mean, I was fine. I got, you know, I got great grades, almost straight A's when I was in high school. I didn't do anything.
Hold on. Girls, steroids, and beer.
Yeah.
I just gave it to you. If your mom was still here, I'd tell her. I'd call her up and say, oh, I figured it out.
Yeah, that was always her big line to me. So nothing in high school. College, like you said, a different scene, if you will. The struggle is real for the MVP as the Braves head out west. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're on your home of the Braves, Seattle, the place tonight, as the first pitch with Max Fried on the hill will be at 9:44. Leadoff show at 8:25. It's the Fan 680, 93.7 FM, and the Fan app.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
The pitch. Bounce up the middle. Might get through. It does! Base hit! Rattle around third. Here comes the throw. It's late. Braves win! Austin Riley comes through.
Poor Joe kept calling him the Indians, and I don't blame him. He's a creature of habit.
It's going to happen. I don't think you need to say Indians five times in a row just to prove a point. Yeah. Don't say Indians, Indians, Indians,
don't
Indians,
go on the
Indians.
War path, you know, like Chief J. Strongbow used to do,
but if
wrestler,
you, but
who's
if you
actually
mess it up.
Italian.
Welcome back to wrestling.
Always does.
Doesn't matter.
No matter what the walk of life, we are discussing
Chief
the topic.
J. Strongbow, last wrestled when?
Oh, gosh. He's been dead probably for like 15 years.
Right.
But he used to go on the warpath and give you a knee lift.
I know what he did.
Dance around the ring. Oh, no, the Chief's on the warpath. That's not what Joe did.
No, no. And again, by the way, declaring somebody's on the warpath when they're not Indian and they're just jumping around like it's a bad movie from the 1930s.
What's the difference?
Well, he would show up with also the massive headdress on.
Yeah.
He can't really.
Did he put face paint on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's an Italian guy. He's not supposed to be doing that. Now we know better.
Down
my
home.
Point is, why do you have to age us by doing stuff like
Chief? I'm sorry.
I mean,
seven times now I've been cast on this program.
Yeah, used Tanaka. He was Tataka. He was in the 90s at least.
Not Tanaka, the Professor Pat Tanaka. Let's not confuse everything now. Don't forget.
My guess is Chief J. Strongbow was done in the 70s.
Probably. All season long, this is simple. When the Braves hit a home run, you'll score an instant round trip or discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires. The next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, you'll get a free alignment and free oil change with your tire purchase. The more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals are at Tire Discounters. Learn more at tirediscounters.com/Braves. No home runs yesterday, but the Braves do wrap up a 7-2 homestand by knocking off the Guardians in extra innings after losing to the Guardians in extra innings on Saturday. That was Austin Riley. Joe Simpson with the call with the game winner up the middle. 4-for-33 on the homestand. Started, hit the ball harder, but nothing, and I mean nothing, was carrying out of that stadium all weekend long.
I'm sorry. Show of honesty moment. I'm really distracted. Look over your shoulder. You know who's sitting down, and you know who's playing the role of inside the actor's studio?
Is that dog again?
Look at this.
So you got Belichick and Roger Goodell sitting together. Belichick and Pat McAfee worked together. I'm telling you, what did I tell you was going to happen?
Hold on. This is the guy who also, with Deflategate, PhoneGate, and everything else, they're sitting down here yucking it up. Bill Belichick had cards like he was the guy from inside the actor's studio, and he's actually going through the life and career of Roger Goodell.
What did I tell you was going to happen? I told you this.
And by the way, why does he have a kerchief in his pocket there? That's a little bit big.
That is a, yeah.
That is the biggest, that's a kerchief. That's not a handkerchief.
That is not your standard kerchief.
Why is he wearing a tie?
Because he's Bill Belichick 2.0. That's who he is now. He's the new and improved Bill Belichick. He's the media version of Bill Belichick.
I'm going to tell you something right now. If I'm a New England Patriots fan, I'm throwing things at my TV. I'm screaming. Do you know Roger Goodell didn't even want to show up there at times? They blew the bejesus at him. Bill Belichick is sitting down, breaking bread with him like it's a holiday. I can't. What world are we in?
And Belichick worked during the entire draft with Pat McAfee, and stellar reviews is what the tandem has received. Nick Saban, stellar reviews as he worked the draft on ESPN.
The problem is Belichick's not as good a storyteller as people think. You can't rely on that.
But it's that just, will, I think, improve over time. The more reps he gets, the better he's going to be. The more comfortable in front of the camera he's going to be.
This is insane.
The fact that he's even doing this speaks volumes. No one thought he was going to do this.
They're sitting at the tiniest table ever. This is smaller than a tabletop at Bennigan's. Like in the old days when the restaurant was crowded, I'd go sit at the bar. That's what they look like they're about to do. Somebody's going to come over and drop off two drafts. I don't like this. I'm sorry, I don't like this.
Well, learn to love it.
This isn't for me.
Because it's the best thing going today, as Ric Flair would say. Again, we go back to wrestling.
All of a sudden, Roger Goodell, he couldn't come on here where the flagship was. Didn't want to do Atlanta radio. Now he's sitting down with this guy.
The guy that he punished.
Yucking it up.
A guy that he punished a couple of times over. Max Fried, Bryce Miller tonight at 9:40. The Ford Leadoff Show from Seattle starts at 8:25. Ronaldo Lopez, Luis Castillo tomorrow, Wednesday, Chris Sale, and Emerson Hancock.
They're playing that game I see on YouTube.
I got to turn this television off.
They're playing the game of, I'll ask you a question. Oh, the internet wants to know. I saw Emily Blunt do this once.
Mm-hmm.
What are these guys doing?
What's your favorite swear word? What's your favorite sound? What's your least favorite sound? It's going to be inside the actor studio with Bill Belichick.
There's a thing that,
assuming the role of James Lipton.
There's a thing that Google does. The asked questions.
What's your favorite sound? What's your least favorite sound? What's your favorite curse word?
I cannot believe what I'm looking at.
He talked about Randy Moss when they traded for Randy Moss, hanging up on him, thinking it was a prank call. I mean, he's starting to tell stories. And this is, again, just the tip of the iceberg. He's going to be doing work during the Manny cast, during the season with Pat McAfee. I'm telling you, this is the guy. Get used to it. He is going to be moving forward.
They just ask him, the NFL, is it the greatest league on earth? No, what's he going to say? MLS. I'm a big MLS guy, Commish.
Big fan of the Columbus Crew, what they have going on in Central Ohio.
This is insane what I'm looking at.
All right, try to focus. Try to focus on what happened over the weekend.
All right.
Austin Riley, the game-winning hit yesterday. 11 of 13, the Braves have now won. Their starters during the 7-2 homestand, 0.86 was their ERA. Four earned runs in 42 innings.
And that's just, the guys, man.
And that's just 4 and 5 innings. Got a couple of guys going to the seventh. They need to do that for the bullpen. It's nice that they all hit a thing. It's amazing that Bryce Elder got on the plane. Knowing, I'm assuming, that he's going to be starting, as long as everything checks out, he's going to be starting on the road.
I mean, what you saw yesterday is, I think what you're going to see, he is going to walk people. Now, you hope he doesn't walk four, but he is going to hit people. He's going to get hit in the leg or the foot like
he's
did yesterday.
He's going to cover first base again on a double play.
I mean, things are going to happen. He's going to pitch through traffic. That's the type of pitcher that he is. But as a fifth starter, you can do a lot worse if this version of Bryce Elder continues. That's the key. Will it continue, or is he going to smack into the wall again like he did last year?
What am I doing?
You're raising your hand.
I did not think I was going to see a 7-inning, no runs outing from Charlie Morton this year. I hope for it.
And you saw that. Even though they lost, you saw that on Saturday. You saw 7 more innings from Chris Sale on Friday night. He doesn't want to talk about it. The media brought it up. He said, stop bringing this up. Stop talking about it.
He's old. He's embarrassed that this is a thing. He's embarrassed.
Three straight starts of 7 innings. The last time that happened, almost 6 years ago, June of 2018. So, of course, he's going to be asked about it. He's in uncharted territory.
He doesn't want you talking about it. He doesn't believe he gets a gold star for going 7 innings. It's not how this guy's mind works.
Well, even when he got knocked around down there in Miami, he went 7 because he felt like he owed it to the bullpen. That's what he said after the game. So, the leadoff home run from Stephen Kwan happens. He gives up 2 hits, issues 1 walk. The hits and the walk came in the first 2 innings of that contest.
And then they give up 1 late to basically book it.
Yeah, Matzik got some problems handed to him. And A.J. Minter, once again, wasn't supposed to pitch, has to come in and pitch for the second consecutive day. Yesterday, outstanding job picking Kwan off of second base in the 10th inning. Outstanding play. Then Jose Ramirez gets on base, and I don't know what he's doing on that steal attempt. I have no earthly idea what he was doing there.
Were they going home last night, or were they going to another city?
It looked like Ramirez wanted to go home.
They wanted to go home.
He didn't slide. He just kind of overran the bag. I guess he assumed it was a short hop throw. It was going to go into center field. It didn't.
I just want to clear one thing up, and then I think, are Matt and Chuck both here today?
I believe so, yeah.
They're here? They're at a golf tournament?
I believe they'll be. I saw Chuck outside, so I believe they will both be in studio, yes.
So
they will be joining us to talk about the draft and the crazy weekend in a few minutes.
Right. Kevin McHale, and we'll have a dump. I got some Dion, and I got, I don't know, some other stuff. Oh, a sideline reporter who had to wait her turn.
All right.
But listen. Kevin McCalpin has been really big on it.
He's stuck on an elevator.
He was stuck in the elevator. How many people are going to get stuck in these elevators in this building? That's my question.
Good news. Kevin McCalpin and family have been freed.
How long was he in that elevator with his family, might I
think? About 45 minutes.
No, let's not.
No,
again,
I'm serious.
He wasn't in there for 45
minutes. Oh, you said Max was freaking out a little bit?
I
he did say Max was freaking out.
He shouldn't have said that on radio.
Why? It's a good thing he wasn't stuck in the elevator with my father. My father would have played it up. I don't think we're getting out of here, son.
That's what Max said.
I can't breathe.
Don't talk about it.
My father would have.
I know. Okay.
Very much taken advantage of that situation.
Would he have jumped up a little bit just to see if he could jiggle it loose?
Yeah, press the buttons.
There's two elevators normally. Today there's one.
Yeah.
So that
it's the same elevator. The same elevator. We have two elevators, as you said, in this building. That same elevator, since we've been here,
I think it's a lemon.
Has broken at least three times a year.
I think it's a lemon law thing. I think we should get a new elevator.
Well, where are we going to find an elevator?
It's none of my business. Listen, what I'm telling you is this. Don't put your kid's business out there when he's freaking
out. I like those guys when they come and fix it. It looks like they're mining for gold. It's not their fault. They're in a bad situation.
I want to ask you.
Guy's got a hard hat on.
He called me. My phone ringer was off because yesterday during the pregame show, I turned my ringer off. Most days, I remember to.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm at my car, and he calls me from the elevator, obviously, and says, we're stuck. I said, excuse me? So I just gotten off the elevator 2 seconds before that, a minute. So am I supposed to go? I said, maybe the guys in the booth, like the guys who were producing the, maybe they can come out to the hallway and hit a button. Maybe it just needs the 4 button to be hit. I said, do you know where you are? Like, you're between 1 and 2, 3 and 4. I don't think he really knew. And it was, you know, I could tell.
I don't know, it's dark and it's so hot.
I don't think it was any of those things, actually.
I got to go to the bathroom.
The lights were working and there was no dark and it wasn't hot. The point is, should I have just...
I don't think I can breathe.
Should I have just come back to the building and pretend that I was going to do something? What was I going to do? Get the jaws of life? I didn't know. I
press
couldn't
a button,
do it,
maybe.
Right? No, the guys here were going to be able to press the button. They were going to be the ones who could press the button on the fourth floor.
Was he telling you that in case he stayed in the elevator, you were going to have to come and do the show, whatever
what
the show may be?
I don't know what he wanted from me.
What if there had been a rain delay right then?
Yeah.
Well, and he was stuck on the elevator.
I would have never answered the phone.
It didn't look like
I would have taken off in my car and I would have driven.
It is odd because there was no chance of rain.
Know,
it is odd that he called you. I don't know what he wanted from you. I can't answer that. That's probably what I would have said. Well, what do you want me to do?
I didn't do that. I'm not you.
I'm telling you what I would have done.
Should I come back?
There's a lot of people you should be calling now. I'm not one of them. See, I'm gone already. And the one thing I'm not doing is turning around.
Did he think I had a fireman's coat and a hat in my trunk? And I was going to come in and
see if I could pry this thing loose.
Let me ask you this, though. I'm going to ask. It's his wife. I'm not doing it that way. Let's just say there was somebody else randomly on the elevator. Do you think that's a moment where all of a sudden you become like a hero? You become a little bit better looking because you saved the family?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I was just trying to help. That's all.
That's what we do.
I don't want to talk about
it. That's what we do.
It's our job.
That's what we do.
Chuck and Chernoff are here. We'll talk to them next. As Domino said, he's got a very exciting dump for you next as well. No, ma'am. I did what anybody else would have done. We'll check in with Chuck and Chernoff.
Would you like to sleep with my wife?
Get their thoughts
because
on
you saved us.
The Falcons draft and go back in time, among other things. To wrap up a Monday, Cellini, Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Company.
Who does number two work for?
1:49, wrapping up a Monday.
Me doing this segment right now is redundant. Because I think you're worried, perhaps taking care of it.
The dump is what it's called.
What do you...
Lenny Domino, Matt Chernoff, Chuck and Chernoff are going to be here.
Matt Chernoff.
Matt's in studio. Chuck's on the way.
Well, Matt's dying.
I might not be in studio.
Well, he just sprayed. It's all right.
I mean, what happened?
Is it?
What happened was my cheat meal was yesterday evening. That's what happened.
Was it a chili dog?
It was not a chili dog.
What was your cheat meal?
What did I have yesterday? Philly cheesesteak and tater tots.
There you go.
I think I had some pretzel bites as well.
Before we get into anything and everything.
If you really must know.
Adam Gillespie went to the baseball game. He says he could do the 999 challenge. Do you believe him?
Gosh.
9 hot dogs, 9 beers, 9 innings.
I think Gillespie could do it.
I did. So I was at the game yesterday. I did the first 3 innings easy. And now I stopped because I was in the suite and I can't just eat all the hot dogs in there.
The beer is going to be.
That's what I said.
And we're doing 12-ounce cans, though. There were tall boys in the suite.
No, 12-ounce cans. You have to do 999 in 9 innings. You think I couldn't do it?
Yeah, I could do it.
I think Gillespie can.
I think at the peak of my powers, I could have. Certainly not now.
Gillespie, you're welcome for the job.
At the peak of my powers.
Like at the turn of the century, yes, I could have done that.
But I would have needed pizza slices instead of the hot dogs. I can't eat 9.
I watched you eat pretty much an entire chocolate cake one night at the home.
Yeah.
Wait, a whole chocolate cake?
Pretty much.
It was a little over that.
See, I feel like I could, have some big braggadocious thing. I get full too easily. I tap out.
Yeah, the hot dogs, I couldn't eat 9 hot dogs.
I think I could eat 9 hot dogs.
I could have eaten 9 slices of pizza and 9 beers.
We did one of those crystal eating challenges a couple of years ago, and I couldn't. I mean, maybe I had 6 or 7. I was out or something.
5 or 6. What are you, a child?
Maybe I can't eat that many. Maybe at 5 or 6.
Five or six?
It was done. It was it.
All right, let's play a little
bread, Domino.
But if you do it, what's the payoff? Yeah, hopefully somebody's driving you.
Yeah, yeah. No. 999. You just look at me. It's like you get your name on the board.
Gotcha.
It's like being in a weight room.
Right.
Who's this?
You get your name up on the board.
You get like a...
999 cube?
A little glass cube.
Nice.
Okay. All right. Congratulations to all. Ali LaForce, post-game. NBA game, Oklahoma City. Hey, we won. She wants to talk to these guys, and then she realizes, wow, this is kind of interesting. These guys do these interviews all together. Listen how it went.
We have the group interview. Wait, they abandoned you. Oh, they have to run. Oh, why do we have to wait? I follow the group with these knuckleheads. I'm doing some investigating right now.
Every one of them. Dum, 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 dum.
Ellie, you know what? Let them have their confab. They're talking with their home TV, and that's good for them.
They blew up Ali LaForce.
We thank you for watching here. This
and they, the Gronkowski sound of that? You bloop, 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 bloop. They all bloop, bloop, bloop. 6 guys over to their home.
They are talking with the local hacks.
Harlan, saving the day always. God, Harlan's good.
So that was...
Never misses a beat, no matter what's going on.
You could have let her just twist right there, and she's like, Harlan saves it.
Well, she was going to wait her turn.
They're talking to the local affiliates.
She did eventually speak to them. It really was 6 guys, just all sort of arm in arm. So that's their
What do you want from them? They're making $35,000 a year.
You know what that is,
back
right?
Back to our TNT studio.
That's OKC going. You guys don't care about us all the rest of the year. Yeah. These guys are here all the time.
No doubt. Listen, I commend it, but they went over 6-man force, boom, right to their
I
TV
make guy. More combined than what they all make.
How bad if you're the Hawks that you see OKC went through that awful time where they just stacked picks and picks and
picks. And they did things right.
Yeah, they didn't try to jump the line with, contracts
in the
and
West.
Stuff. After already having Durant, Westbrook, and
Harden.
And Harden. And now they're back to the number one seed and making a run. My goodness.
And light enough to go talk to the local guy who's been there all year with them. Probably the last couple of years with them when they weren't very good. All right,
go talk to the guy in the cheap suit.
Again, I don't know why Harlan's taking that many shots.
Evil, Kevin Harlan. Yeah.
Oh, because he's national and this guy's stuck in Oklahoma City.
I'm up here and you're way, way down here.
So there wasn't a great attendance when it came to Buffalo's spring game. Now, it was raining. It was kind of ugly out. But Deion Sanders.
The Buffaloes, yes.
Yeah. What did I...
You said the Buffalo.
Yeah.
Spring game.
Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bills had a spring game.
I mean to step on you. I'm just trying to help.
You'll realize it's Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders takes the mic, and he wants everybody to know what he feels about them.
And our goal is we're going to get you to a bowl game, baby. Look at that.
Awesome. We're going to go to a bowl game. That's great.
You got to win six games, sometimes five, to go to a bowl game.
Well, he's talking to the old lady. He was talking to the 90-year-old.
I know.
Miss Peggy.
Yeah.
Miss Peggy wants to go to the Emerald Bowl.
I know. I know. You have that conversation.
I don't think that exists anymore.
Okay, we ain't got time to get Miss Peggy a national title. We can get her 13th game.
He shouted out.
Let's go, Miss Peggy, to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Pour mayonnaise on you at the end of the game.
You have that conversation with Miss Peggy, not when you're on the middle of the field with a microphone in your hand.
We're making a big deal out of that.
You tell everybody else you're going to a bowl game. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Here was the money shot.
You only have to win two more games than you won last year.
Yeah, that's not a guarantee. But you're saying you're going to a bowl game. Hip, hip, hooray.
Well, like you said, the Falcons making the playoffs. You said that shouldn't be hard.
No credit.
It really shouldn't be a challenge for Colorado to win two more games,
I think. No credit. But here's the money shot. Dion was asked, and it's a good question. Listen to this.
5-10 years from now, where do you see the family?
The kids are being pros, and I'll be here. And you see the mountains behind us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll see my head up there.
Yeah.
It's a funny line. He's going to get his head carved into the mountains in Colorado. Ha, ha, ha. The kids are going to be in the pros in 10 years.
He'll be there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll set the under.
Okay. The kids will be in the pros, so you got one out of three.
He'll be in Colorado.
No, you won't be there.
His head's going to be on the...
And that's not going to happen.
Please have some faith in me.
His head's going
to
be on the
mountain. Does he have to win?
Yeah.
Faith goes away. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't win this year. Yeah. People are going to start to say this guy.
Is that 28,000 show up in freezing rain for a non game in April?
No. When you say win, he won't lose his job, but like the media is already pouncing. Like they'll, this is all fluff.
But
it's
what
all
is
this
Colorado thing.
Oh, he's got a few years.
What is the administration
years?
Thing? I don't think he has to win.
Not
I think they're already winning.
Yeah, not for a while.
They're already winning.
They're relevant.
Okay.
Are they going to be relevant if they win four games again this year?
In the Big 12, their whole pitch is wide open year to year. Any of us can win it. And you look at the programs there, and I buy it. Like, literally season to season, you could go, yeah, okay.
What do you said?
You're asking me, does he have to win? Yes, he does. Because he's like every other coach in college football. I don't care what his name is.
So how many years before he wins? If he just loses 4 years in a row, he's just going to stay there and give the same spiel and people are going to show up?
If,
you're saying people in Colorado are stupid. Is that what you're saying?
No.
That's what Chuck Oliver headline. Buffalo fans.
If he actually is a six-win program, or every year you think they could win, man, it's enough for Colorado. But look at their history.
That's a Hall of Famer. Is it good enough?
Mediocre
for him?
Is good enough for Colorado.
This guy's going to be a headlines. 500 coach.
But maybe he quits. I don't know.
Right. But you're asking, where's he going to be?
He's going to move on.
He's be there.
They do have a pretty poopy schedule. I'm looking at it. They should be able to win six.
I mean, I looked at the ticker. Now, they have to find two more, but the thing they have to do is they have to win the four that they won. Remember, they came out of the gate pretty hot. Then all of a sudden there was either film on them, they started to smell themselves, whatever it is. You can't do that again. You can't collapse at the end of a year.
I think also Travis Hunter is kind of a skinny little kid playing big-time football, and he got wore out a little bit.
Playing Ironman football, not really what you want him doing.
All right, I'm from New York, so I'm allowed to say this. I was born in Brooklyn. I was in Staten Island for enough time. Then I went to Jersey, so I'm allowed to say stuff about Jersey. Do you know who the cheese ball man is? Who this guy with the story this weekend? Ooh. Okay. There was a guy who went around, and he started putting, like, papers this size. Like, he's got a picture of himself. He's got an orange mask on. He's carrying the biggest thing of cheese balls. And he starts telling people, I'm going to be in the square. This is in Manhattan. And I'm going to eat this bucket of cheese balls. Come on out and see me. It's a couple hundred people. Now, there were some people walking around who probably, what's going on here? And you start to look, like if you're looking up in the sky, everybody starts to follow. But hold on. In Manhattan. We're fairly cynical bunch. Listen to what's going on here.
Eat those cheese balls.
He's kind of whipped into a frenzy.
Because he's eating a massive party-sized bucket of cheese balls.
Yeah, this is New York. What happened to the place that I left? It's like Ranger fans and Knick fans. You're screaming when you do nothing. But here's the problem. I got a bigger problem with cheese ball man. Two things. He's got a mask on, like a ski mask. Terrible one. He cut out his own holes, it looked like. Looked like it was a regular hat, right. But he cut out eyes and a mouth.
Oh, not even a wrestling.
No, it's not even. Oh. No. Oh. This is this is a hat.
You can get one for like $12.
He pulled it down in front of his face. Yeah, he pulled it down in front of his face. He cut out two eye holes and a mouth hole. So he's putting cheese balls in there. Okay. The two problems. He spoke at the end. If you're going to do this as an act, you don't speak at the end. You're like a mascot at that point. You don't speak. I think I'm going to go home and throw up. Well, then I'm not on.
Ruins the mystique. Is that what you're saying of Cheese Ball Man?
Here's the other problem, though. And it was pointed out. He's a fraud. Because in his pictures, of all these pictures that he posted up around that area, He's got the big-ass thing of cheese balls. You know what he had in his hand that day and what he was eating from? Not the big-ass thing of cheese balls. You're a fraud. Everybody should have turned on him. Where's the meat bucket?
Right.
And he thought it was a big deal, like his last three cheese balls. People are...
So like wrestling, it was a gimmick. All a gimmick.
Without the payoff.
Yeah. So now what does he do for a follow-up?
He should have even had this platform.
He's going to go shop at that Old Navy there on the square.
I'm calling him a cheese ball.
As a follow-up.
So I'm sort of buying in on it, but I'm telling the people...
Clearance sale going there now. Ooh. Change of seasons.
Oh, sorry, Chris. Yeah, Coleman?
Back to you.
All of a sudden, though, this guy... Okay. You can't come back and do this again. You're out. You're one. You didn't even eat the cheese balls
come back.
In your picture.
Adam Gillespie was telling me one time, maybe 10 years ago, I think he said a guy won America's Got Talent. All he did is stand there and let somebody hit him in his privates with, like, kicking.
Adam Gillespie should try this.
That was and he won.
He should be Jerky Man.
So in the battery. In the battery here.
He's a jerky man.
He can put posters up and say, hey, on
I'm going to eat
Tuesday,
10 pounds of jerky.
Right. He can get a Bucky sponsorship.
What's your favorite place to eat at the battery?
It doesn't have to be anything that we all recognize.
This is New York. We're a big room, New York.
He's going to put a reindeer mask on and eat jerky.
If you go an hour outside Oklahoma City and you want to do this, a couple of people show up, that's fine. This is Manhattan.
This is a city that doesn't sleep. Now they should sleep. This is enough.
It's Enid's biggest attraction.
I get that's that. I get the singing Naked Cowboy in Times Square. This is too much.
This is and
draw a line somewhere. Right.
Look up cheese
separates
ball.
Separates us from the humans and animals.
Look, have you been to Costco?
Of course.
So you know the big cheese ball bucket.
Yes,
you know Okay, look at the cheese ball bucket.
It's a letdown.
Of course, he's a fraud.
By the way, if anybody needs dog food, I think I have.
You bought it all?
About a 20-year supply.
Do you know what I saw the other day?
If anybody needs any,
can I top all this? So Costco, right when you walk in, they have the TVs. They had a 98-inch TV for $49.99. I don't know where I would put it.
$49.99?
Oh, a little more. 98-inch screen? I was like, oh, my God.
Can you sit far enough back?
I don't know. I don't think I have a place.
The neighbor's deck.
I just wanted it. Yeah. I don't know what to do with it.
Sure I'm going to go there later on this afternoon.
You're still there. Listen, you don't have that type of money to spend. That would be 9 phone calls to your wife, and they're all going to be
That's true. You can pay in payments.
I don't have that
authority. What price would you have said yes? Because that's the real question.
I mean,
you knew you couldn't do $5,000. You know, no way. Please don't the big balls willy me.
No.
You don't have a direct family member in the hospital.
You don't have a $5,000 purchase.
Let me say this. I've made worse purchases, like more reckless than that.
Oh, I've made a couple of them.
Yeah.
You don't have $5,000. No matter how big the TV is, though. So what price?
I don't have $5,000.
No, not for... Listen,
what if there's a kidnapping? What does he say?
$3,500.
Say, look, I couldn't get a TV. How can I get my son back?
You mean to tell me you could have bought a $5,000 TV and everything would have been fine? That's not
I didn't
true.
Say it'd be fine. Okay. I would have gotten look at home.
So at what price could you have said, quiet you. Quiet. Look at this. Quiet.
There's no price because the size of the screen alone. If I would have gotten it for $1,000, I still would have gotten the hell are you going to do with this TV?
Yeah, but that's not her business.
I have a 75-inch now, which is already obnoxious.
Listen, big shot.
No, that's not her business. You can get a TV anywhere.
It's none of her business where you're going to put it.
How about that?
I'm talking about what price could you have walked in with that TV and said, deal with it.
Domino's ruling with an iron fist
all of a
sudden.
It'll be where it's at.
Why don't you come to my house? Help me out.
There's your answer.
You're just going to put this TV wherever you want to put the TV. It's not your business.
I honestly don't have anywhere to put it.
$2,400. Could you have said?
Yeah, probably. I still would have gotten a look and a like. Why would you do that?
What price for you where you didn't have to answer to it? Where
really is no price.
Okay,
I'm going to get in trouble.
So if you open up a Costco membership card,
we have a card.
No, not the membership.
You mean it's a credit card?
Financing. You can't do that.
So your $2,400 purchase becomes $36.
Yeah, you're going to be found out. Yeah. You can't do that. What about
of course
you?
I'm going to be.
What
found
about you
out.
And no kids?
What about it?
Could you walk in with a $5,000 TV and not be asked, not have to explain yourself?
He's a dink.
I know I couldn't.
He's a dink. Of course he could.
No.
She would wonder what I was thinking that we needed a $5,000 TV for.
Is it fight material or is it?
No, we don't fight.
Oh, this would have been a
$5,000 TV. You're not going to fight.
Yeah, would have been a fight.
I would have bought a $5,000 television. But
do you hide baseball cards and stuff that you buy from her?
That's a yes. I don't bring them all up to her.
You have a separate account for that?
This.
It's don't ask,
this.
Don't tell.
Yeah. So you don't tell the whole truth about the money you're spending and on cards.
I never lie.
Just don't bring it up.
Because the TV is not like a little piece of cardboard that you can just put in a case and walk it in.
So it's twofold. It's the money and it's a where the hell we put this.
Well, how did you get it there as well?
Right. Where did you get this? Honey, I was buying 76 Tops when I was in second grade. That does not answer her question where I got this card.
It's just an answer, nevertheless.
It redirects her thinking.
Do you think... How long before somebody notices the 98-inch TV on the wall? She's gone for the whole afternoon. I mean, you get it home.
Immediately.
All of a sudden, it's up.
I mean,
immediately.
How would you not know?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be stupid?
Like, where would you put it?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
She would wonder, why do you think we need this?
You don't need
it. You have a 98-inch wall, by the way. Everybody does.
I understand but like, our TV's over the fireplace, like a lot of people. It would go over the windows.
You have knickknacks and the like, too.
Cool. Remember those floating shelves you used to have?
Blackout curtains? No, I got the TV.
I got you.
Don't need anything else.
You want to know the radio move of all times? Because I'm going to...
Endorsement.
That's exactly it. Oh, baby, it was an endorsement.
It's one of the greats.
Yeah, of course, if you pay the bills, you could say that. If you don't pay the bills, you'll be found out pretty quickly.
You're on an allowance? How does this work?
Let me ask you a question. That endorsement deal, so you're paying them? Yeah. Is that how this goes?
It was 10 grand. I got it for five.
If I take out the trash, I get a certain amount a week. Okay. Yeah, that's how it works. So what time are you guys going to do your big draft grade extravaganza?
So we'll start at three with grades.
Okay.
We'll go with C's and D's and E's and F's. Now, I won't do grades, but I'm sure you guys either saw it or mentioned it. Warren Sharp of Sharp Football Analysis, he does a value chart just based on sort of a kind of a...
Was this the graph that had the little logos?
Yeah, where they put together 101 big boards combined with one mock draft from the first round. You can mock the first round pretty well. Falcons finished dead last in value, and the synopsis is jarring. They think so differently than 31 other teams.
Graph.
That I hope they're smarter because it's jarring.
And fellow Mount Union alum Dane Brugler ranked them 32nd as well from the Athletic.
I knew that I had to start at 28. And then I realized, nope, not 28, not 29, not 30. But that graph with the Falcons logo, as low as it was, it's a graph. It starts out really high. Yeah. I think they call it a wee. It's like you're going down in a roller coaster. Wee. Mm-hmm. And then you ended up at the bottom.
Now, it doesn't mean everybody's right. And
let's go
wrong.
To the bottom of the draft.
Typically, though, when everybody's on the talent evaluation.
That's what he would say if he was at Six Flags on that roller coaster.
Very frightening.
What'd I say?
Oh.
Last roller coaster you were on, Domino?
Been a while. I got a little of the vertigo.
Yeah, so
I will tell you this. I looked at those teacups.
No.
The last time we took the girls, I looked at my wife. Says this one's yours. I'll go on anything.
Spinny rides are dumb.
Yeah, but I said I got vertigo. You're on this. I'm not going.
Roller coaster's fine. Spinny rides no.
The 2 o'clock hour, I should add, is brought to you by Southern Exteriors, the Southeast premier home exterior solution, quality and precision you can rely on for over 20 years. Visit southernexteriors.co.
You guys got a good handle on the Falcons' second round pick in his name?
I have Ro-Ro-Ro-Ro. I have no idea.
Ro-Ro-Ro-Ro.
Yeah.
Ruko.
No, it's Ruk.
No, but I'm going to go Ruko.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I heard Ro-Ro-Ro-Ro.
I was told during the season by guys who cover Clemson that we just call him Ruke.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So.
That name is intimidating. Aurora Roro?
Yeah.
How am I going to call that at the CS when he tackles somebody?
You have to say Ro three times. Roro Roro.
Oh, it's Roro Roro?
Yeah.
Did I miss one?
Maybe you did. Maybe you did.
Roro Roro.
I hope that we have to practice pronouncing his name a lot because I hope he's going to be a good player. All I know is they reached. That's what everybody is saying.
Yeah, the grade on him was in the third round, and they not only took him in the second, they moved up and gave an extra third round.
Sure did. And it's not even a scenario where if you're right, he helps the pass rush.
He's an interior guy.
That's not really the
thing. You might get some push up the middle, but I just...
Is Braylon Trice the guy that could make a difference?
You better hope so. How many third-round picks in year one make a difference?
Listen, they said the same thing about the doctor of the pass rush, Arnold Ebiketie, who got better last year, but still isn't a difference maker.
He's fine. He's okay. He's not supposed to play a bunch of snaps. Neither is Lorenzo Carter.
All I know is I look at linebacker, I look at safety, I look at corner, and I have the same questions.
The least my worries is linebacker. The corner thing is a complete.
What about safety? Richie Grant.
That's an upgrade.
He's your starter, right?
Do we know anybody, like, is there a projection as who's going to be a casualty in camp? Because don't you think now that, don't panic, because there's going to be guys available. So now, again, it's somebody else's guys.
Would you guys go pay Xavier Howard? Because you need a starting corner, and he was banged up last year.
How are you going to pay him?
I think you got a little bit left.
Well, you have $5 million left, but you can rework contracts.
You better start restructuring.
Yeah, that's not a problem. That's easy. But you have to make the choice to want to do that, and they haven't made that choice
yet. Am I going
to
hear that there'll be a couple of guys once camps, they have that one day where they cut everybody?
Oh, no.
I mean, don't you think?
I don't know if there's that starter quality.
This summer's version of Okuda and Hughes?
Yeah.
They'll be, yeah, you can get Okuda and Hughes. They didn't like either of those guys very much.
I'm just telling you, they're going to try it again.
So you're going to go the scrap heap route.
Stephon Gilmore's there as an older guy. Steven Nelson's there as a. You're going to get a second and wave now of free agency, but the Falcons have to make the choice to spend, right? That means you're going to have to rework Chris Lindstrom's deal, or you're going to have to rework Grady, or you're going to have to rework Bates.
Can I ask, so is Heinicke. We're not tucking this kid up on the.
He might not be active on game day.
Right. So Heinicke, whatever money.
He's $4.5 million this year.
And if they cut him loose, it's going to cost him, I think, $3.5 million.
If they knew they were taking Penix, should you have been paying Heinicke $4.5 million?
Chris, their plan has changed 4 different times. They didn't know they were.
They committed, like, when the date passed in March or whenever it was $1.5 million, I think, that he was due, like, a roster bonus
and
or something.
And
they paid it. And I was like, that's weird. Okay, well, I guess he's going to be on the roster.
But then they cut his salary in half.
And then they drafted a quarterback. And I'm like,
I'm not telling you $4.5 million is a lot.
It's a weather vane,
probably
dude.
A way to get out from
it's
under
a,
it.
It's a weather vane.
So it's $4.5 million for him, but it's also $5 million for Penix.
Right.
So you're paying $9 million to your backups and then the money to Kirk.
That's just silliness.
You're correct.
That's an expensive room, man.
The allocation of funds. See, there's this disconnect. Nobody said anything negative about Penix, although I don't know if he's worth that kind of pick. We'll wait and see. It's the continued head-scratching of allocation of funds. So Chris just said, would you have kept Heinicke? When they make the Kirk move, they have no clue they're taking Penix. Right or wrong, we can debate that one, too. Then when they get closer and they go out to the Seattle thing and they fall in love with him, now they're going to do it, and they're, like, dug in and they're going to do it. And now they're just going to have to explain to everybody, we're about the succession plan, and we're about not ever having to deal with the Mariotas and the Ritters again. That's how they were going to sell it.
How did he get a room full of grown men to true love him? Like, what happened during that workout or meeting or interview or?
Apparently, they literally fell in love with him. And they might be right. We don't know. But
Because in 2 years, you might have a mess on your hands.
Do you like the idea that the NFL teams put out these phone calls? Because some work and some
stuff. Cringy.
I know.
We're going to play some of them
but
coming
why,
up. It's
why are
so
they
cringy.
Putting it out?
I don't know. They just want to load it up with content. But, oh, these old dudes talking to young guys. So cringy.
How are you doing there, my brother?
Oh, my God.
You ready to come and play for us?
The Rook is the best.
Care. Bye.
Yeah, the Rook is the greatest.
Oh, that's Arthur.
Arthur, okay, bye.
Pleasant goodbye. Yeah, it's pleasant goodbye.
And then you got Raheem going, you got to calm down. He ran the attack in that moment.
Who was the player?
Did you think of that when you heard
it? Yeah. Who was the player that had to be told like 3 different times, I'm the general manager, not the coach?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, so, no.
Was that wasn't here, though, was it?
No. Yeah. But he said, I'm the GM. I'll put you on with the coach.
Because they all call him coach.
Is this a prank call?
Right. Well, then the prank call one we had.
That was the Colts GM.
What's happening? Are these kids getting pranked on draft weekend?
I think they're all so – they don't think they're getting recorded, whereas the GM has to remember at least that all this stuff is being recorded.
Ballard, excuse me, he doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care at all. He's got a filthy –
You can tell him how to kiss your ass now that we drafted.
Did you see Ballard's –
did you hear that one?
Did you see Ballard's
– about A.D. Mitchell?
Well, not the A.D. Mitchell, the one about Latu.
He started laughing.
In the effing draft.
Yeah, he started laughing when
laughing
they took
him maniacally.
Yeah.
How about, did we play?
I think there's something wrong with that guy.
Did we play the Bears GM the other day about?
Yeah, Poles.
Yeah, we
not
played
Poles,
that, right?
Ryan Poles.
Yeah, Poles.
Laughing at the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was bad.
I want to think.
That was public.
And I don't know this. I want to think that part of it was he was just still overwhelmed with his dumb luck at getting his guy at 9. He was still in the moment of, I can't believe I got the quarterback and the receiver.
What's going on with these guys? Then Sean Payton has to convince me that he duped Minnesota into moving up to 10 to take McCarthy. Twirl the evil mustache at that point.
Everybody's got to talk, man.
But there have been several media members who have, in quotes, said, I've had GMs and other people in the league reach out about the Falcon pick, and they were shocked, stunned, and like, what were they doing
this
morning? Yeah. Hey, I said, we need to be adults around here, us included at times. But again, we're stupid AM radio people.
And FM.
When they say we've got a front office that can look around a corner, that's not even a real thing. Because as I told you, you're busy looking around a corner, and here comes the bus that hits you. The one that you should have seen, but
you
didn't.
Playing
because you're busy. Right.
Chess.
Right.
And everybody else is playing checkers.
How about you play checkers once in a while?
Right.
How about you just play checkers?
This is coming out of Flowery Branch.
Yeah, they look around corners.
No, it's all, and again, preface, love Raheem. Think he's a good coach.
Do you?
I do like Raheem. I think he's a good coach.
Do we know he's a good coach?
I think he's a good coach. Oh. I don't know if he's a head coach.
Oh.
I'm saying he's a good coach. It's nothing but just a jumble of words. It means nothing. I've already caught on. When Raheem speaks, he gets on a little bit of a roll. That world-class conversation, that's the perfect one.
Can I tell you what I think. I think Terry sort of agrees with the coach on the pick. These feel like all Raheem picks. And that's fine. It, you know, the coach is more important than the GM everywhere. That's just the way it is now. It was that way with Arthur. And we, the four of us, sat in this room. And I'll take you back to midseason. Arthur, problem, Smith. And I said to you guys, okay, Arthur Smith's gone. Is it going to clean up? We're here now. What do you guys think?
Well, Blank, I know, wanted Cousins. So that's at his insistence. And this all started when he pursued Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
So where
is the problem remaining?
Well, the problem is it starts at the top. I don't think there's any disputing that.
We're still in the same situation where they're the story of the league for a confusing reason again.
So do you think, hold on, I just so I know, if we're getting on the record.
Yeah.
You think that Arthur Blank is the reason that Kirk Cousins is here, not the other two guys?
Oh, I agree with that, too.
I believe that.
So you think it's Arthur Blank?
Yes.
He wanted to win.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think Arthur Blank had nothing to do with this?
I think he signed off on it because he could sign off. I don't think he stopped it or said, let's do it.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he trusted his guys. And Arthur, that's part of the issue, Chris. I don't think Arthur and his hiring practices are great. I don't think Arthur and his ability to trust certain guys. I don't know that Arthur is the guy that I want saying sign off on this and that anymore because he's lost his way so many years ago.
The Robinson OC, and Nick, you brought up a point, he's never done it at this level before. There's good news, bad news. If they're a really good offensive team, that guy could be gone after a year. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the guy who wanted Penix, or certainly it fit, now I got to go find one of him. Look, big-time problem to have if you're so good and you lose a guy, a first-year OC to head coaching job. My other problem with all this is I don't think your new OC has problems. I think he's been handed a veteran quarterback, a very good running back, I think a good wide receiver, a good enough offensive line, and he's got to fix or talk to Kyle Pitts. Nick, I don't believe that him being a first-time guy is problematic because if the game is speeding up, just give it to Bijan. Like, I don't want to turn this into a high school game. I know. I don't want to turn it into a high school game.
Arthur Smith didn't do that last year when he was overwhelmed.
King of the morons.
I mean, sometimes it's not that simple. It should
be good at his job and look great.
Right.
He could be good.
Yes.
I don't have questions about the offense this year. Like, I think the offense will do a bunch of good stuff. I still wonder how the hell they're going to get stops. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Do you believe what Ross Tucker said?
Yeah.
We had a cut.
We're going to play it coming up.
Okay. Yeah. So the idea that if I'm the elder statesman, you screwed me.
Of course. Absolutely.
Like, where's my...
You're not helping me for the next 2 years.
Right.
You helped you.
Okay. All right. Again, I'm not telling people how to draft.
I'm just telling
you. I do know that you have to explain some things every once in a while.
I hope there's not a stretch and it happens in the NFL because of parity, where drop 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, and even if Cousins is playing well, you know what's going to happen.
Well, they're going to ask. They're not going to make the change, but it'll be asked.
But they're going to start calling. The fans are going to be restless.
What are you doing this preseason? If he's healthy, if Kirk Cousins is healthy, cleared, I got 3 preseason games.
Right.
What am I doing with 3 preseason games? Because am I worried about him getting hurt, therefore I can't play him?
I don't know.
What if Penix plays well? What if he stinks?
You've created an issue here.
That didn't need to be there.
Right.
And I love the succession plan. I just didn't do it at this price.
Let's say Cousins is iffy. Medical, he's kind of cleared. Can you even say that in August? Because I don't know if the calendar flips September.
They'll start Heineke in week 1. Just to avoid all this stuff.
You're not going to put him out there until he's healthy. There's too much invested.
But if Kirk's not ready, they're not starting Penix. No way. They will open up Pandora's box.
Yeah, issue is...
what are you doing in the preseason? If he's not healthy enough to start game 1, he can't play in the preseason. What am I doing in preseason?
Well, you're not going
to play
him in preseason anyway based on...
The way they all treat him.
I mean, they played Des Ridder for 9 snaps or something.
Let me tell you what that was.
King of the morons. I try not to use that word.
Kirk's not going to play a ton in the preseason either way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He'll get his couple series.
Here is the dilemma. I agree with you, by the way, Matt, and we talked about this even, I think in the moment Thursday night, wait a minute, you just drafted, he can't even be active on game day. What if Kirk Cousins is 2-4?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's clamoring, put in Heineke.
No.
So how do you go from this guy's not active to he's starting?
That's what I'm saying.
They're not going to start him in year 1 under any circumstance unless Kirk gets hurt. I fully believe that. They'll tell you we're in a race. We can win 3 in a row.
So we're 2-4, and there's questions. Was he even healthy? Whether he is or not is irrelevant. But play the rookie, and then you do make a change, but it's Heineke.
And then the shame of the Heineke money is, even at 4.5, it was 9. They cut it to 4.5. $4.5 million, we all know that's a player somewhere else. Like, you can get a thing with $4.5 million. So just their money, it's just a weird top to bottom how they built it.
Weather vane up there.
If I'm going to do my personal receipt, and it's not even May yet, we're still months away from a whole lot of things happening, or not happening, or happening. Like, a lot of things can happen, good and bad. I'm on the record as saying you don't get credit for making the postseason. Like, that's the one thing I'm emphatic about. Hold on, Matt. Let me just explain why I say that.
This franchise is such a dumpster fire that I'll give him credit.
Let me explain why. I'm not.
They're so bad.
I got the standings here. I circled three teams, the Jets, the Denver Broncos, and the Falcons. They're the only three teams in the NFL that haven't made the postseason since 2017. You've drafted in the top 10. You've changed coaches. You've changed GMs. You don't get credit for making a postseason, especially in a crappy division.
What about winning a game in the postseason?
You better win a game and not lose it because you couldn't sack a quarterback. You had a corner or a safety burned, which you didn't get.
But all I'm saying
is you have a wide receiver who doesn't exist because somebody's
It's hurt. Horrible that all this conversation is on point today. It's like that literally
but,
we only
but you're not getting
maybe in like 10% of it.
I'm not giving you an attaboy. You'd make the postseason, you don't get an attaboy.
If they go 8-9, we'll kill them. If they go 10-7 to make the playoffs, I'll give them some credit. I can't just
I'm not giving them credit.
I will.
So if they make the playoffs and they don't win a playoff game in this division.
I don't know. We're doing that today.
I have no idea.
You ordered the code red.
It's the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets and you.
I've lived it. It's bad.
Why would I give you credit for doing something the NFL
I'll
wants
do
you to do?
I got
to
give some
the
credit.
NFL, I'll give him credit.
I got to give some credit. I can't just be in the killing you business and not give you credit.
For making the postseason in this division.
The playoffs are the playoffs,
when I spent $100 million on a quarterback and I've spent three picks in the top 10.
Okay.
I got to say good job. Well done. If you don't, I'll kill you.
Oh, my God. Ain't getting an attaboy out of me.
What if you go 10-7 and don't make the playoffs?
Well, that is a different discussion. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
A lot of scenarios.
Now, what if they make the NFC title game? Oh, wait, Kirk's never done that.
If he makes a Super Bowl, you sitting him in year two? Year two, the Falcons go to the Super Bowl. Year two.
Right? What do you do in year three?
That's what I'm asking.
He goes on a run
in year two.
Goes
to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
They've just opened up. This is great for what we do. I just don't want it. I don't want it. I'd rather have... Quiet, simple, and go win a bunch of games and sack a quarterback.
It's not going to be that way because they are
the Falcons. Come on, let's all go. We did good work here.
We did. I want to thank Todd France for joining us. We trimmed some of the fat, but we're not going to go back in time again. I'm sorry, Cullen Madden. I apologize.
Sponsor attached.
There's always next year. Put it away till next year.
There is no sponsor.
Well, there should be a sponsor.
Well, there should be. Huh. Boulevard.
All right, real quick, let's just say that.
it's about time.
We'll do one. Ron Washington is 72 today.
Oh,
hey,
Wash. On the ball that's in the middle, which is
his hand. Working with
work
Chris
on
DeMino.
The ball that's away from you, that's one hand. Okay. Anything outside is one hand. And then this one is the back hand.
Poop.
Okay. Nope. See, you going this way. You got to come direct.
Okay.
Don't worry about nothing else about that glove. All you worry about is where this is inside that glove.
Okay.
And that's what you take to the ball.
Okay.
At that angle. Put your glove on.
Okay.
When this ball hits the ground, I want you to be there.
Okay.
I was like 8 years old.
Okay. You're like Leo Getz.
I was like 8 years old.
Leo once?
I think they edited.
Now, they're 10 and 18 out there in L.A.
That's called an editing.
I don't think they're having fun. And I will say this, the Brave defense looks every bit as good defensively it always has. And I love Wash to death, so maybe the principal stayed after he left. They're just fine defensively.
All right, and with that, we thank Todd France for joining us, Cullen Madden, Brian Gebhardt, Derek Thomas, Adam Lear, and Matt Lear and Adam Gillespie. Thank you all. What's in a name, though? It's all one and the same. I thank you all. I thank you. What else do you want from me?
It's the name on the front of the jersey that matters.
Indeed. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We are back tomorrow at 11. Cellini, DeMino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.